JLP, the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationships podcast, and I'm coming to you with this brand new episode titled Live Free After Life Felt Like Death. I have a special guest with me, Sharonda Axon, and on tonight's episode, me and Sharonda, we're going to just be discussing just a few of the things that we've learned after experiencing certain, you know, traumatic events and how the Lord was able to really just help us to persevere in our walk in this journey of life. And we want to go ahead and encourage you guys to do the same, giving you guys hope, letting you know that indeed with God, you can get through anything. And, you know, no matter what happened to you, no matter how you may be feeling right now in your current situation or season, even if it feels like it's impossible to get out of it, God is able to make a way of escape. God is able to truly to bless you with a better outcome, with a better story. And so without further ado, I just want to go ahead and introduce Sharonda Axon. Sharonda, how are you doing today?
I am just peachy. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm great. I am great.
I'm so happy to hear that. Now, I'm excited to really talk about this topic. I know it's not an easy topic to discuss, but however, I do believe that many people will be blessed by hearing this. And so, you know, if you don't mind us asking, live free after life felt like death, do you mind giving us just a quick example of how you were able to just get out of a situation, or perhaps lean into God to help you to get out of a situation that felt unbearable to you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know we talked, you know, early, and I'm like, oh man, there's so many of those for me. But one of the things, as I was thinking about this and thinking about as far as the living free, like after death, pardon me, living life free, like I felt like death. It made me think about Psalms 23. Can I start there for just a second? So in Psalms 23, especially, I love the King James Version, but the Amplified Version, it just always, you know, turns it up and magnifies it. And it was such a beautiful verse. And it says, Psalms 23, it says, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, I don't even want to go further. I just stop at, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death. And I say that because as I think about the things that have happened in my life, it happened, I've had two valleys. One was a pre-Christ valley, and the second one is post-Christ valleys, because the truth of the matter is, we're always going to experience major things in our lives. There's always going to be monumental moments. But one of the things that my pastor, he always says is, you know, don't make a memorial out of a moment.
Amen.
So that means we can't stay there, right? So I'll talk just for a second about my pre-Christ valley, because I was not a person who was raised in church. I would say, you know, like a CME, but I didn't even go on Christmas, you know, Christmas, Mother Day, Easter. But we didn't even go on Christmas, so I guess an Emmy saint. And I found Christ later on in life. And so one of the things for myself, that pre-Christ valley was one of the things that I've experienced was sexual abuse for multiple people in my life, as well as emotional abuse. And I was a person when I was having that pre-Christ valley that literally saw that there was no way out. So I literally took pills to commit suicide, because that was death for me. That was the end, because these things had happened. I did not know how to cope with life with certain things, and I just couldn't handle it. And then the thing is, death, when we, a lot of people may say, you know, oh, well, I would never go to that extreme. It looks different for everybody. Death looks different for everybody. You know, it, you know, that's just like, you know, death for me during that time looked like promiscuousness. It looked like addiction. It looked like so many things. You know, for someone else, they can go through it and, you know, have depression and, you know, gluttony and different things. It can take a effect in so many things. So, and it's just a valley of things that we go through, but when we don't know how to, you know, cope with them, we find other ways to cope with life. So I said it because my pre-Christ valley was just, I said, hotmess.com. I just did not know how to deal with life. But it was the grace of God that when I took the pills to exit the building, he only let me throw them up.
Wow.
And I didn't realize it until later in life because I didn't, you know, we never see it in the moment. And as I said, I did not receive Christ. I mean, we did it as a child, but I did not come to know Christ until an adult. And it wasn't until after that happened and I was still just trying to find my way in life that I knew there was purpose, but not his purpose. And so one of the things that I did was I did get therapy because one of the things that a lot of people won't go and do is get therapy. But even in the therapy, I found myself weaponizing my trauma. And weaponizing my trauma went two ways. I fell into victim mode and more of the, you know, why is this happening to me? And oh my gosh, this, you know, this happened to me. So, you know, you gotta help me because, you know, I don't know what to do. And, you know, that it had its place. And then I went into survivor mode where I built the wall that was, you know, supposed to protect me, but I kept it up in every area of my life. So what was the innocence, the sweetness, the gentleness of me that was taken away, it was now hardened. And that led me to, as an adult, my post, what I call post-valley with Christ, pardon me. And the post was my divorce. And one of the things with me, because, you know, again, pre-Christ, I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, I was still keeping up these walls, these borders of things, so much so that it did hinder my marriage. I didn't realize how independent. And that's why I tell people all the time, you know, I tell young ladies and, you know, older ladies as well, you know, we weren't designed to be independent. Anybody that says they're independent, girl, they're a hot mess. They lying. They do not need, that is a lie. That's a whole trick of the enemy. Hmm. We were forced to be independent because of the things that we've been through, but it was never designed for us to live independent. And that is also independent from Christ because that's what happened. And a lot of times we don't know how to accept Christ's love, accept his grace. We don't know how to accept that because we've been so independent. Because we weaponized our trauma and we treat God just like man. When the word says, you know, God is not like man. Well, we don't know that because we have so many deep issues and so much trauma that we have to unpack. That it's so hard for us to receive Christ's love. It's so hard for us to see him as Father. I mean, I'm very blessed now to know him as Abba, but there's some people that can't know him as beyond a Savior, you know, let alone Father, let alone Provider, let alone Lover, you know, let alone, Healer. We can't get past that because we have so much trauma in us and it prevents us from living life the way God wants us to do. And so I say that too, because in my divorce, you know, all of that happened. I found myself being independent from my ex-husband. And I found myself in a position of wearing the pants per se, and it's not that he didn't wear the pants. I mean, he's very a manly man, but because I had been in a environment that kept me a certain way, it broke down barriers of communication, and it broke down our love life. It broke down so many things, and I say that because when I got divorced, I was 2 years before we got divorced. I actually wanted to leave my husband, and I wanted to leave him because I felt like this wasn't going anywhere. You know, we're bumping heads, and it wasn't until I started getting healthy. Can I just be honest with you? It took me to get healthy to be able to understand him, for me to be able to forgive, you know, him for things, for me to accept accountability, because girl, I was prideful. I was just like, no, you lying. That was not me. Nope, you lying. You lying. But when you're honest with yourself, you're trying to better yourself, you'll sit back and say, man, I messed up. Yeah, that was me. You know, I made, you know, a person feel a certain way by both nonverbal and verbal communication. And so it wasn't until we, you know, 2 years later, you know, Christ showed me how to renew my love in him. And right then, it was kind of his pivotal point with things. And so it made it easier for me to, you know, want to go and get the divorce. In fact, we was holding hands going downtown to go get the divorce. I mean, it was the craziest thing. I mean, I was happy, you know. Just be honest with you. I was just like, all right, it's better be a hot girl summer. I mean, I'm joking when I say hot girl. I mean, it wasn't no real hot girl. In my mind, it was a hot girl summer. But it wasn't a real hot girl summer. Let me just tell you that now. It wasn't. But it wasn't until a few years later that, again, because any person that desires to grow in God and grow in godliness, you're always doing a self-evaluation check. You're always growing. You're always maturing in the things of the Lord, and that involves ourselves. And it wasn't one until one day I was, you know, moving. I end up moving with my sister, and there's so many parts in between. I'm trying to condense it.
Understood.
I was with my sister at my sister's house, and everybody was going off to work, and the Holy Spirit arrested me, and I found myself weeping like a baby. And when I say weeping, I mean, girl, it was snot everywhere. I'm so glad everybody was gone, girl. You know, JLP, it was horrible. Girl, it was snot everywhere, tissues. I had to clean, sanitize. It was a mess. And so I was like, what is this? You know, and it was truly God's love. It's just like he just sat on me to say, you have to deal with this hardened heart of yours. I know that life puts you in a predicament that you feel like you have to be this way, but you cannot stay in this state, because if you stay in this state, you're going to hurt yourself. If you stay in the state, you're going to hurt, you know, your money. If you stay in the state, you're going to hurt, you know, everything over the people around you. And here I am, like, this, I can't believe that I'm going through this. Like, what? I'm like, oh my gosh. I just want to go back into a little shell in my mind, just close the door, get me like a 12 case of Mountain Dew, because I love me some Mountain Dew. And just drink them all, girl, until I just can't drink Mountain Dews no more. And that felt like death to me, because here I am still trying to fight with the Lord. I'm still trying to, it's like I'm wrestling with him to, like, no, I want to do this. And here again, I was trying to weaponize my trauma with Christ, because it felt good to be angry. It felt good that I was able to, what I thought, wear a badge of this happened to me, so I deserve to, you know, I deserve to act this way. And it's totally, totally wrong, totally inappropriate. I always say so disrespectful. And so for me, and that it, with the divorce, and as I said, with my post-Christ valley, it made me realize how much God loves us. It made me realize that even the things that my father had done to me, and my stepfather, and other things, and other people, it made me realize all of that. If I can forgive and move forward, because forgiveness is not always for the other person. Forgiveness was for me, and
Absolutely.
I had needed to let that go so that I can move on for the next stage in my life. And it was so many other things in between. And you jump in and stuff, because I try to convince you, because there's lots more in between. I don't think an hour is enough
Many,
to have to go through it.
many of what you just shared, it actually is so interesting to me because even in this current season, although the season just started, we just entered 2024, but you said something that really stood out to me. You were talking about how you've been seeing God as a father, not just simply as your savior, but you're seeing him as your father. And you just began to just embrace the love of God. And me personally, I, experienced so many different type of trials with the Lord. And at times, again, like the scriptures say, the trials helps us to build endurance, the trials helps us to mature. But oftentimes the trials literally feel like death. And sometimes when they come, you don't necessarily expect them to come. Like, for
Absolutely.
example, there are people, unfortunately, they may get a diagnosis and the doctor may tell them that, oh, you have this amount of months to live. But oftentimes a trial comes just unexpectedly. And sometimes even when life is good. And so it just leaves you perplexed, and you're saying to yourself, how did this happen? Did I do something wrong? What did I
Oh,
miss?
yeah.
And you find yourself in a situation where all you can do is, again, just to surrender to whatever it is that God is doing in your life, whatever it is that God is teaching you, and just to embrace him as Father. I've had to do that even recently towards the end of 2023. Like, I experienced one of the biggest trials, I'd say, of my life. And until now, I'm still trying to navigate it with the Lord. But one of the things that you said that really was outstanding is, again, just seeing him as Father. And although we know him as Father, there are certain situations that we face that literally makes us really now believe that he is our Father. You know what I mean? And you can't do anything but now to truly just embrace his grace. We know that the scripture tells us his grace is sufficient and all of that, but there's certain times in life where you're stuck in this predicament that feels bigger than life. His grace is the best gift. Honestly, in his grace, it becomes like your oxygen to live, because you find yourself again very small. And you now realize again how truly a big God that he is. And that just helps you to just go through the journey of life with just a much fresher perspective. Not saying that things happen all of a sudden. For example, sometimes healing takes time, healing is a process. And so we have to really rely on God's love and rely on God's grace. And I believe at times it's hard for us to do that because you feel like as if you have to earn his grace, but the scripture lets us know that it is a free gift. We just need to receive it, And so I'm just so glad that you just shared that with us. And
Can I can and I want to, especially because there may be someone that may be listening, and I can I just talk about that for a couple minutes,
of
because there may be
course.
someone that's listening who may say, I didn't grow up with my father, and or mother, because Christ, his love, covers everything. And someone may say, I don't know if I can do that. I want to share one other story, so, about with my biological father. My mom and my father, they were not together, but I had a stepdad in my life. I've had actually two stepfathers in my life, which even to this day I still talk to. But my mother, both of my parents are going on to be with the Lord.
Oh, wow. My
But
condolences.
that my biological father was one of the people that I was abused by. And for years, I hated him, and I can legit say that. And it was a rough, it was a very rough period in my life. It was very rough, but it wasn't until I want to say maybe. All right, I'm bad with dates. I'm horrible with dates. But I want to say it's been about 8 years now. Yeah, about 8 years he's going to be with the world. But so 8 years ago, and I want to say so actually 2 years, so 10 years ago, a total, my father, because I have other sisters and brothers as well from him, but he ended up having to move here in Tampa here. Because him and his wife was going through some things. And one of the things, and I was married at the time, and one of the things that the Lord pressed on my heart was to allow him to stay with me. And I was just like, I know you lying, Jesus. I know you lying. I know you is all the way lying. You, I like, hello, I need you to get God on the main line because you can't be talking to me. And but I did. And my husband at the time, he was just like, are you sure you're okay with this? You know, well, you know, and it took me a while to do it, but I was obedient. I can't say that I was always willing at first, but I was obedient to it. And even then, I didn't know God like how I know him now. And I say that because leading up to how I got to know him as my Abba. He stayed with me. But I want to tell people, one of the things that people forget, forgiveness, as I said before, is not always for the other person. In fact, it's most of you. The time, yeah. It's for you. However, what I learned out of him staying with me for that maybe year was forgiveness and trust are totally two different things.
Absolutely.
I can forgive you, but I don't have to trust you. And the forgiveness part is because I just was compelled to just take him in. And so I was talking with my husband at the time. He came in, he stayed with us. And I was able to see a side of him that I had never seen before. And it was the real authentic him. It legit was him. And I say that because I found out after he, you know, went on to be with the Lord, I had another valley moment. This is a post-Christ valley. Again, one day I'm just driving and all of a sudden it just kind of hit me. And, you know, I've come to learn, and I'll kind of, you know, do a little insert. You know, it's not God's desire to deal with us in moments like that, the way he dealt with me. But what I will say is he'll get you wherever he can. And one day, I didn't cry as much as I did with, you know, the ex-husband, but I just started, tears started falling. Like, I missed him. And I'm like, what is this? And the enemy was just like, how dare you? You're going to miss a man that abused you and, you know, brought up all types of things. And clear as day, you know, the Holy Spirit said, my love is greater. And the reason why I was able to have that, for everything that he had did years ago, that 1 year made a difference. And it allowed me to have the same grace and mercy and love that Christ had for me. It allowed me to have it on him. It allowed me to tell him that I had forgiven him for what he had done. Now, again, it does not mean that I trusted him. Does it mean that I would ever put, would have put him around children? Absolutely not. Does it mean that if I had children at that time, that I would have allowed that? I'm 1,000% sure it would not. But I'm also 1,000% sure that Christ allowed that to happen the way that it did, so that I can also show God's love and mercy to him. And after he passed, I learned so much, you know, so much about him and the things that happened to him as a child, because guess what? It happened to him as a child. Wow. And it happened to his dad as a child. It was a generational curse that had happened. And not only did the Lord allow me to see that and break and pray, you know, to see what I needed to do about it. But even every person that had sexually violated me, the Lord just allowed me to have a unconditional forgiveness love for them like nobody's business. And I know that that is such a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. And I will say this, it is never to say that those people who do those things, that they definitely have to, you know, be judged as far as, you know, what the law says. Hey, listen, if you did it, you own it, you have to wear that badge, and you have to accept what we as society, you know, we're not going to trust you. You have to own that for what you have done. I'm never saying that. I do believe, you know, there should be a special place in the jails for them. I do believe that. But when we're talking about spiritual matter, we're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus, that does not mean that Christ does not love them. It doesn't mean that Christ will not forgive them. They just have to realize, because here's the thing, there is no condemnation. That's what the word says. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment when it comes to Christ if they've accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior and forgive them. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, that's not fair. Listen, we put levels on sin. A sin is a sin to Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ ain't looking at it from level 1 to 10. A sin is a sin. Mm-hmm. However, there are consequences with man.
Yeah.
And that is what they have to deal with. So I say that because when all of that happened to me, it allowed me to have such a deeper respect and awe of God.
Yes.
As my Abba, that even when my biological father did things and my stepfathers and other people, even when that happened, he allowed me to say, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he turned right back around. And can I be honest with you? The Bible says he gives people for your life. He has given me a spiritual father like no other. I mean, all the way who gets my quirkiness to all the way to, you know, I say jokingly my thug side, you know, so he gets me all. And that's the thing, when you know that God gives people for your life, it doesn't matter what happens. If we can learn to keep moving on, and don't get me wrong, the thoughts, ideas, the suggestions, they're going to always come. It's going to always be there, but we have to constantly reject it. We have to say, no, I've forgiven them. I'm going to move forward. I know that this happened to me, but I thank God that it happened to me, but God worked it out for me. That I'm not, I think about so many people who have walked in some of the path that I've been along, who've had, you know, children, who, you know, died of AIDS, who have been, because listen, let me tell you, that's a whole nother show. I tell you some stories. But to know that I don't look like what I've been through, that right there makes me love him even more as my Abba. To know that even when our biological father, whether they've not been there in our lives, maybe even a mother, but God is still there, and he will take us and give us a natural person as well as him as the spiritual father. So I just wanted to share that with somebody, because it's vital that people understand, because a lot of times we think that, oh, because I didn't have a father, it's very hard for us because we can't see God, you know?
Yes.
And you know, I jokingly tell, there's a couple of young men I talk to, I say, listen, you haven't seen your biological father. So why not take a chance on Christ?
Wow. That really is powerful. Like I said, man, even the fact that you forgave your biological father, I believe that God was already working in your heart prior. That gave you that strength to have that capacity to forgive him. Because, you know, at times forgiveness is not always easy, especially depending on what you're forgiving the person for.
Absolutely.
But when you have experience, again, going back to the love of God and the grace of God, it just compels you to forgive. Mm-hmm. And it's just a way that you can be Christ-like. And this a way that you can please your father, because you're just so moved by his love. You want to please him in that regards to forgive someone else. Mm-hmm, even if perhaps, you know, like other people may say they don't deserve it or whatever, But you see yourself as human just as they are human. You see yourself as, you know, it's because of the grace of God, perhaps you didn't commit the same sin as them. But mm-hmm. we see each other on that same grounding, that we mm-hmm. all fell short of the glory of God. We all need his grace, you know. We all need his mercy. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Even me, I remember there was a particular instant when I was much younger. I believe I was like around the age of 7 years old or eight. Mm-hmm. And I was in elementary school. And this girl, just 2 years ahead of me, just out of nowhere, she just grabbed my arm and she just grabbed my arm and like spun me around like twice or three times. Mm-hmm. And I ended up hitting my eye in a metal cart. And mm-hmm. I was just so shocked because I'm saying to myself, why in the world would she do such a thing? Because I was here minding my business, you know, not trying to cause any, you know, any beef or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. And then she just comes out of nowhere and does such an act. Looking back at it, I see that it was the enemy that was just using her mm-hmm. in order to kind of like hurt me. And even mm-hmm. until this day, I still have a scar because of that incident. But it's so surprising to me as well how even though I was young, even then God began to teach me on forgiveness. There was one mm-hmm. instance when it was like the end of the school year. And she approached me. She never apologized, mind you, concerning mm-hmm. what she did. But it's just like God already softened my heart to just forgive her at that instant. And I forgave mm-hmm. her. And the reason why I'm sharing this is, again, sometimes things just randomly happen to us that's out of our control. But however, we can't allow what happened to us to, again, harden our hearts. Causes us to not give forgiveness to someone else. We have to be reminded that at the end of the day, even before we ourselves, we committed an offense or we committed an act, Jesus himself, he already forgave us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so that in itself just helps us to just, you know, humble ourselves and just give that forgiveness and knowing that God himself, he will continue to just heal us because he is seeing everything that we're doing. You know, he sees the efforts that we're making. He sees when we, treat another person as he would like for us to treat them. And so I'm just so very just blessed by hearing your stories and how far God has led you in your healing process. Speaking mm-hmm. of healing, mm-hmm. you know, healing again, you know, is a process. Sometimes it's not a one night thing, you know. Is something that happens throughout our journey of life. But one thing I have learned, especially in my personal journey, is that although healing is a process, Jesus already died for my healing. Amen? Mm-hmm. Jesus already died for your healing. And so one of the things that the Lord has been just teaching me in this season is knowing that the healing is already mine. I just have mm-hmm. to, again, allow myself to step into it. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I believe that there's some people that are listening to this episode. They probably are questioning that. They're probably saying, well, you know, Sharonda, JLP, you know, will healing ever be possible for me? Will I ever be healed? Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to say to this listener, yes, healing is possible. And mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, God already died for your healing. Jesus already died for your mm-hmm. healing. Mm-hmm. He has already given you this gift. All you need to do is embrace it. And mm-hmm. one of the main ways we can embrace it, again, is by listening to stories such as yours, Sharonda, or stories such as the one that I shared that happened to me, and as well as just basking ourselves in the promises of God, basking ourselves in the word of God, and just allowing ourselves to really have an intimate relationship with the Lord. One thing I've learned in this journey of life is that although we may go through so many traumatic experiences or disappointments, mm-hmm. one thing that always stays in my memory is the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. There are times where I try to look back to remember something that happened. I honestly can't remember it, but I could remember God's faithfulness. It's like his faithfulness always outweighs the bad. And that's something I want to encourage those who are listening to me. I just want you to understand that, you know, there's so many things that God wants to do with your life. And you're going to go through a lot of trials. The scriptures already tells us we can't avoid them. They're going to come. But one beauty beautiful, beautiful thing that I can leave you with is that although the trials are going to come, it cannot compare again to the joy that lies ahead of you. It cannot compare to the blessing that lies ahead of you. In particular, I just want to go ahead and share this scripture, and it's coming from Psalm 119, verse 50. And it says, "My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life." Right now, mm-hmm. where you are, it may seem as though it's eternity, like it's never ending. Mm-hmm. But even in your sufferings, you can be well assured that this too will pass. It's not permanent. And God himself, he still has a promise for your life. And in order for that promise to come to pass for your life, you have to grab hold on to it in order for you to see the fulfillment of it, you know. And so mm-hmm. I just wanted mm-hmm. to go ahead and share that. That's one of the key scriptures too that I hold on to, especially mm-hmm. when I'm going through a difficult season. I remind myself of God's word concerning my life. I remind myself as well of everything that the Lord has already brought me through. So knowing that even this too shall pass, and I'm just going one step ahead to seeing his promises fulfilled for me.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. You know, one of the things too, and there may be someone that's listening, you know, just as you said, just like, how can I get through this? One of the things I come in, and thank you so much for sharing that, as far as what you said about Scar, and you were saying about how, you know, the girl, you know, twirled you around and you have the scar. Listen, you know, what I've come to learn, JLP, that scars are just signs that you survived.
Amen.
And I, you know, I have one too. I have, if you ever get close enough to it, I have a whole bullet. I have a bullet grazed my eye. They were shooting. I grew up in the housing projects here, and they were shooting. And in fact, the person who was shooting was my godfather. My godfather. Listen, that's what I told you. That's a whole nother topic. But I say that because, you know, the things like that, you know, one of my scars is that, but then someone's scar could be a child. Mm-hmm. Someone's scar, you know, could be a mental thing, because some scars we can't always see.
No, you know? We can't.
And the thing about it is, I always try to encourage people, because sometimes when we're going through, and you know, don't get me wrong, I love the Word of God, because that's truly how you do come out and you win through the Word of God. But sometimes when people are going through, and especially as they're mm-hmm. growing in godliness, they don't, you know, sometimes they don't want to hear it. Some, you know, I can be real enough to be say that, hey, I've had several violence, where I'm like, don't bring me no scripture. I know that. Don't you come over here with no scripture. I ain't got time for that right now. I get that. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, have your moment.
Yes.
You know, because we are all, my pastor just did a wonderful series called Lifing. We all out here lifing. And you know, it's never Christ's desire that we do what we're doing alone. And that's one of the things that I love, oh my gosh, I love the fact of with your the podcast of it is mastering, you know, singlehood and relationships. Listen, I love that first word you put on there, mastering, because you know what that means? You're continually doing, you're working
yes.
at it, mm-hmm. you know? So I say that because we are all continually to grow
yes.
in godliness. We're mm-hmm. continually to find out where he is, because he doesn't change. We change, but
yes.
he does shift. And what sometimes we get so comfortable that we make him common, and we find ourselves, when he's shifted and challenging us to grow, we think that he's not there, but he's still there. And he's
yep.
saying, you know, I just need you to come up. But I want to share a couple things. For one of the things that helped me to live, some of the things that helped me to live free, especially as a New Testament believer, because a lot of times, especially there's such an attack on the church, the body of Christ right mm-hmm. now, like mm-hmm. just unbelievable. But I had to acknowledge my part so I could be free. Now, these are all, you know, little tips that I've had to do to be free so that I can live free. It doesn't mean, you know, we're in the world, but not of the world. It does not mean, you know, that's why the scripture says, you know, no weapon that forms shall prosper. It doesn't mean that the weapon is not going to form.
Oh, it's going to form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to form, you know. But here's the cool part. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Redeemed, you know, the one example the Lord showed me through that revelation is a pawn shop. You know, if we go to the pawn shop and we pawn something, and we get it out, it doesn't mean that the pawn shop go away. Well, that's what Christ did for us. Christ was the ticket and he redeemed us from it, but it doesn't mean that the curse went away. And it just means that we win. That's the difference. We win. And how we come out of this thing should not be like the world. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems, you know, but we come out and we win because of Christ. So some of the things that I had to acknowledge my part, I had to acknowledge and say, well, what is my part in this? Then I had to also learn to forgive others and myself. Just like, you know, this example I gave with my stepfathers and other people. Then I had to seek help. You know, I got help when it comes to a therapist back in the day before my pre-Christ. I went to get therapy, you know, after I did, you know, attempt to commit suicide. I went and got help. A lot of people will just go to Christ and just think that, oh, my gosh, Christ, you know, I can just go to Christ. I don't have to get therapy. Listen, that's a whole lie.com. It's a whole lie. Christ gave man wisdom. It works together. And a lot of people forget that. So you do have to go get help. Don't be, you know, hyper religious and say, oh, I'm just going to go to church and pray about it. No, you need to get some help so that you know what to pray about. There's the difference. Also, I had to change my environment. I had to find healthy relationships. I had to be around people that get me. You know, I had to realize that I was around some unhealthy people that kept me in a traumatic state. And I had to, you know, remove myself and pivot some things. And then I also had to, again, learn to accept God's love and his peace, knowing that he's never going to leave me or he's never going to forsake me. That's something that was learned. But above all, the thing that I had learned the most out of all of this was to consistently reject any thoughts, any ideas, any suggestion that is contrary to the word of God.
Word of God, amen.
That was above all for me. Because,
that's the main battle right there.
Oh, yes.
That's the main battle. Because, like you said, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're redeemed. So, you know, we're not condemned when we're in Christ. We're not going to face judgment when we're in Christ, like the way that the world will face judgment, because again, we now carry on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But however, that battle is still ongoing when it comes to your mind, you know, when it comes to really getting yourself to move forward, because there's times where you want to move forward, but there's an episode or there's a past memory that is trying to, you know, keep you bound or keep you stuck. But that's never God's will for you to remain stuck. God's will is always for you to move forward. As a matter of fact, that's why he even gave us his grace to help us now to move forward on this journey. You know, it's easier said than done.
But trust you me.
It's easier said than done. That's something too. I'm telling you, you know, God has taught me a lot through his word, but we're, like you said, we're all always continuously growing. And there's times where you have to even acknowledge that, my goodness, Lord, I'm weak. I need you in this season to come through, because, you know, this, you know, this is seems bigger than me, right? Or bigger than life. But one thing that has been helping me is also this particular saying that was inspired to me by the Holy Spirit. And that is, peace is believing what God says. Peace is doing what God says. And so when I feel like I'm stuck, especially in my mind or my mindset, I try to grab hold on to a few scriptures that's really encouraging. One of those scriptures in particular is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, which says, rejoice always, pray continually. give thanks mm-hmm. in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so when I read scriptures like this, it reminds me again, that is God's will. God's will is not for me to be stuck in despair and disappointment. God's right. will is not for me to die in pain. God's will for me is to rejoice. Mm-hmm. God's will for me is to pray continually. God's will for me is to give thanks. So this is letting me know that God's will for me is for me to continue to grow, is for me to have life, is for me to have peace, is for me to, you know, mm-hmm. experience his abounding love, right? Mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. order for me to access the future that he has for me. Mm-hmm. in scriptures like Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know it's a very popular scripture, but in mm-hmm. this season of my life, I'm clinging on to that scripture, mm-hmm. you know, for dear life, which says, you know, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. And mm-hmm. so any times when we see that there's thoughts or there's, you know, lies coming to our mind that is not that, then we could know that is not God, and we can reject it, and we can hold on to the promises of God that, you know, if it's not good yet, then that means he's not done with us, right? And so there's still light at the end of this tunnel. And mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. yeah, so we just have to remind ourselves concerning God's promises and mm-hmm. knowing that he's faithful. That the seasons mm-hmm. themselves, even though they're hard, is something that he's teaching us from them. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that he is quiet. Like you said, he just shifts, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to be aware that he's shifting and understand, mm-hmm. although that he is shifted, that doesn't mean that he's not listening to our prayers. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. that he doesn't see our struggles. Mm-hmm. But that only means that we just need to grow deeper in him. And like you said, surround ourselves with people as well of a like mind, those who are mm-hmm. able to help us as well journey on this journey of life together.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things too, which I just love it. My favorite verse for my mental peace is 2 Corinthians 10:5. You know, and it says, "Cast down every imagination and high thing that is all itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought." You got to bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I love that scripture is because when I confess it, I said, well, this is not the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God pertaining to, you know, this situation? And especially, you know, like you said, the mind is truly in the battle. The battle is truly in the mind. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can beat it in your mind, that's one of my pastors says, if you beat it in your mind, you can beat it anywhere. You know why? Because that's where the enemy plays. And I do want to tell someone this. You have to confess. You have to confess, you know, because you can't think and talk at the same time. Try that exercise. You know, that was something I was taught. You can't think. It's impossible to think and talk at the same time. You know why? Because you're now putting the words out there and you're speaking it, and mm-hmm. that is getting your mind, bringing it into captivity with the word of God. And so I tell people all the time, you know, even if you got to mumble it, you know, I tell people there's no such thing as a silent prayer. That's called meditating, because Jesus says when you pray, say, you have to mm-hmm. speak. Everything that Christ did, when he did say some things, he spoke it. He spoke to the tree. Everything he did, it was he did with words as well. And so we have to speak it. So don't, you know, get to a place where, you know, again, don't, you know, be all shouting everywhere, because, you know, people think you're crazy these days, which is a lot of that going around. But mm-hmm. even if you're just saying it to yourself, no, defeat is not my portion. Healing is my portion.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm healed by the word of God. And you said something, especially about healing. You're already healed. The Bible
you're
says
already healed. Amen.
When you mm-hmm. pray, you believe, you receive. That means you got it. But in order for it to manifest, there's some steps that has to be done. And so, but just knowing that it's already done.
It's already and done. Mm-hmm.
That right there seals the deal for me. And you have to say, I don't care how it's going to get done. Not, that's not my business. That's God's business.
Yeah.
how he wants it to manifest, that's God's business.
Yes.
But then you get to a point as well when you grow mature, and you can say, you know, Lord, I need it, you know, I want it, because he gives us the desires of our heart. I want it to manifest this way, but that's as we grow, you know. But for the most part of it is, it's all, just settle it in your mind that it's already done, and the word of God is your portion. And I promise you that will help anybody to live free. And if it don't work, you know, I'm bold enough to say go back to what you were doing. But I promise you it will work.
It will. Like a lot of things, sometimes it takes time, you know, we just have to be consistent with it. Make it a daily habit. But it will definitely work, because God's word is power. God's word is life. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were one way for 20, 30, however many years. You know, it's not going to happen. It shouldn't take that same long. You know, if you know, we were on a journey that same, it's not going to take God that long for things to manifest in our life. Just as you said, if we're consistent and we're confessing daily and we're doing our part, it's going to happen in a supernatural time frame. But I do totally agree with you. It does take time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we throw in the towel, and that's, again, that's that valley, that's that death. We feel like it ain't working. As soon as it's about to manifest, we throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. And we'd be right at our pivotal point, you know. Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I immaturely threw in the towel with something, and only to peek around the corner and it was right there, and I had to wait till the next season. Because if God promises it, it's already done. It's a yes. But if we're not in order, if we haven't matured to handle, you know, it's like people say, oh Lord, I want all this money, you know, they pray to God for money, which, you know, don't pray to God for money. There's no money in heaven. That's wrong. But people pray to for these things, but can't handle it. And that's think true. That God doesn't want us to have it when it's not us. I'll say this one more quote from my pastor. You know, he said, don't let your gifts take you someplace that your character can't keep you. Isn't that big?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Listen, when I heard that, I was just like, you better shut the front door. What? But that's so big. And a lot of us as believers, we want God to be instant. We want an instant God. And he's not that. He's not that.
And it's not that he can't do things instantly, but it's like, in his eyes, character counts the most with him. Because he wants us to build a genuine love towards him.
Absolutely.
Like, we already know that he loves us. That's already a done deal. We know that. Mm-hmm. But he wants us too, as well, to genuinely love him back. He doesn't want us to just pray for the blessings and then we have the blessings and then all of a sudden, due to the presence of the blessing, we then now neglect spending time with him, you know, and praising him, all of that. And so he's always making us go through character development.
You know, that's how we be able to keep it, you know. The Bible, Dr. Fred Price, he says, everything in the Bible is truly stated, but everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. And I say that because Job, you know, said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. The Lord is not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something and take it away. However, it is our job to maintain the blessing, to maintain the healing, to maintain our sound mind, to maintain any and everything that he has made afforded to us. It is our job to maintain it.
Amen. And, you know, for some people listening to the podcast, you know, we've been talking a lot about just living free after life felt like death. We've been talking about healing and all of that. We explain how, again, healing is a gift from God. We explain how, you know, the Father, he truly does love us, and we can embrace his love and his grace to get through on the journey, or to get through the difficult seasons of life. But however, there are times I still feel like, you know, some people, even me to a certain degree at times, is like, we can forget all of the weapons, all of the wisdom that God has given us, especially when we're in the middle of the crisis, you know. And so I want to just remind the listeners that, you know, God has given you every weapon, every tool. He has given you every strategy in order for you to get through what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And like we shared, you know, God, he's the ultimate healer, but, you know, you can, again, go to a trusted counselor or go to a trusted friend to receive encouragement from them and receive counsel from them. And as well, you can go back through your journal. Something that I do for practice is that I always write in my journal, and sometimes I'm reading past through journal entries from years ago, and I will just read of God's faithfulness again, and I'm saying, wow, God brought me through this instant. What makes it seem like he can't bring me through this circumstance that I'm currently going through, you know? And so I believe that we have to, again, remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God and know that it is God's pleasure to bring us restoration, to bring us redemption, to bring us healing. There's another verse that I love very much. It comes from Psalm 51, verse 12, and it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." You know, we can approach God in prayer and literally ask God to restore us, and he's faithful to do so. You know, sometimes it feels like it's easier to remain quiet. Sometimes it feels like it's easier to remain in the depression or to remain in the despair. But like you were saying, we have to use our voice. We have to use our mouth and speak forth the restoration and be transparent with the Lord as well and say, God, here I am. You know, I'm in a critical place. I'm in a low place, but I know there's nothing that is too big for you to handle. And God is going to honor that, you know. And so I just wanted to go ahead and share that with the listeners. And there anything else that you would like to share, Sharonda?
I would just close with this. In Proverbs 3:6, the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." No matter what state you are in, no matter how far you feel like you are away from Christ, no matter what you have done, even if man, you know, brother, sister, uncle, cousin, doesn't matter, even if they're not talking to you because of something that you've done, just know, in order to be free, that's why one of the first things that I said, because I had to learn this, I had to learn this myself. I had to learn to acknowledge God in all my ways.
Amen.
So that he can direct my path. And no matter what state that I am in, I make sure I acknowledge him.
Amen.
Because that's another caveat of how I learned him as my father. Because there's been some ways that I've been in that had it, you know, some people would be like, oh my gosh. But the results of the things that happened because I acknowledged him was nothing shy of his love, his unconditional love for me. So I just share that to for anybody, no matter what you're going in, no matter what valley you are in, or no matter what mountain, no matter where you are, remember that verse. If nothing else you hear out of this, I truly want to just encourage you and prophesy to you to continue to seek God in all your ways and acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path into whatever you need to be. And just because it doesn't seem like it's working out favorable, it doesn't mean that it's not. Because whatever God says is so. So if he ain't talking, that's a good thing. Because when he says something, it is so. But continue to acknowledge him and be, you know, strong in the Lord while we out here lifing.
My goodness. You said so much gems on tonight's episode. It truly was a blessing just to hear you and your testimony and your stories and all the Lord has done. It's been a blessing to me. And there's so many things that you've shared in the broadcast. It was in my spirit as well. Just taking moments and time to spend in prayer. And you just reveal it as well during the conversation. Again, just seeing God as Father in this season like never before. And just really embracing his grace to help us continue to life when life is not the way that we intended, but we know that in all things God is faithful, mm-hmm. and that God always has our back nonetheless. You know, it is always God's great pleasure for us to become more like Christ, and it's never his intention to, you know, leave us to the ground. He always wants us to rise again. And mm-hmm. so I'm just so honored to have you as a guest on the podcast, and I hope that you'll be able to be a guest on a different segment. And Sharonda, before I let you go, before we close out, I just want you to go ahead and just let the listeners know how they could be staying in contact with you or staying connected to your ministry or your business page.
I'm here in Tampa, Florida. I am at, I'm associate pastor at New Testament Church, which is the senior under the leadership in under our senior pastor, pardon me, in Little Tongue Tied, of Dr. Al Gallen in Sonoda Sassa. Our address is 11530 Walker Road, Sonoda Sassa, Florida, 33592. And you can always look me up on Facebook and Instagram, or just under Sharonda Axon as well. And thank you so much, JLP. We'll have to share how we met one of these days on this podcast, because that was all God. I said, man, God is just so beautiful.
It was all God, for sure. My goodness, it was such an honor, such a pleasure. I pray that God would continue to bless you and would continue to use you as well to impact many lives. And I pray that the very best comes your way in 2024.
Amen. And you as well. And thank you again. And God bless you for allowing me to be on your platform. And I know that you're going to continue to help heal many, many, many people with this, because you have just such a beautiful heart and spirit. So that's why I prayed about it. I'm like, let's do it, Jesus. Let's do it.
Amen. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine.
All right. Take care.
Uh-huh.
And y'all remember, again, like we always say here on the podcast, all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Till next time, peace out. Take care.